Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music that we have all enjoyed this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of John, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. We're going to be reading verse 28 down to verse 40 this morning. I believe this is where the Lord would have us to be this morning. John chapter 5. So if you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. John chapter 5, verse 28. The Bible says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life." And let us pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you, Father, for the privilege and the opportunity it is to be assembled here together today. We thank you, Father, for your presence in this place, as we can sense that, and for what we've already received in through the music and congregational singing through the specials this morning. But now, as we look to you, as we look to your holy word and this passage that we have just read, I know that you have a message for each and every one of us that are here today, and I ask that you would empower the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Here in John chapter 5, you'll find that Jesus was addressing those who had rejected him as being the Messiah, the Savior of the world. From the very beginning, being the virgin-born Son of God throughout his life. And we find here that as he came and presented himself to them for who he was, they are rejecting him. In chapter 5 and verse 18, this is what it says, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God." You see, Jesus made it clear to them they would have to believe in him as being the only begotten of the Father, believing that he was God in the flesh, the Word, and became flesh and dwelt among us, in order for them to be saved. This is where their faith would have to go. This is what they would have to have faith to believe. In verse 24, the Bible says, "Verily, verily," he says, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." Have to believe that I was in the Father, and the Father was me, and God the Father sent me to be the Savior of the world. Him that sent me hath everlasting life. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as being the only begotten of the Father, who came as to pay a sin debt that I owed and couldn't pay, paid that sin debt on Calvary's cross, when you put your faith and belief in that, the Bible says you hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death. For the wage of sin is death, and that's where every man, woman, and child of the age of accountability is headed if they do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Because of the payment of sin, the wages of sin is death. That's eternal damnation. And so he says to them, but is passed from death unto life. Verse 28 and verse 29, he tells them what would happen after death. See, whenever that is, when you die a physical death, then he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. All that have died a physical death will, then the next thing will hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. There's going to be a resurrection of life to go to be with the Father in heaven. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation, a place void of the presence of God, a place the Bible calls hell, a place of damnation. From verse 33, that as we read this morning as our text, verse 33 down to verse 39, he gives them evidence of why they should choose to believe. See, that's the key there. Everyone, when we come to that age of accountability, you have to choose to believe. And not only to believe, but believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God who paid a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. Have to believe him to be God in the flesh. But it's a choice. God has never and will never force anybody to be saved. They would have to believe. There was evidence given so that they could choose to believe, but in the end, he says in verse 40, and ye will not. Of your own free will, you choose not to believe. The message, they would not, even though they could have. Same today. As Jesus presenting this to those now that are seeking to kill him, they could have believed that he was who he said he was. But they chose not to. Ever realize after it was too late what you could have had if only? In so many different areas of life. In something that was on sale, and you were there, and you saw the price, but you chose not to buy it, thinking that maybe I can find it cheaper. And you walked away only to find out that that was the best price, and you go back, and it's gone. Because somebody else came by and realized that's the best price. And they chose to buy it at that point, and if you'd only, and you had this thinking, if I had only purchased it while I had the chance. Have you ever had an investment that was as high a value as it could go, and you could have sold it when it was high, only to turn around and see it drop all the way down? And then you said and you thought, if I would have only sold it before it lost its value, what I could have had. Even relationships. We look back over our lives and we realize how we blew some relationships. And we realize if only I would have, and you fill in the blank, I could have kept that relationship. I would be enjoying that relationship today. Could have, but I didn't. Jesus was warning them to believe and to choose him while they still could. And he presents to them, because once you die, it's too late. Once you die, the next voice you're going to hear in the grave is the voice of God. And when you hear his voice, you're going to be resurrected, and you're either going to be thankful that you chose to believe and to receive him as your Savior, because then you have given to you this life. And you're going to awake to be in the presence of God, and you're going to eventually have a glorified body, and you're going to live in everlasting glory. But for some, they're going to hear the voice only to realize they did not believe. And because they did not put their faith and belief in him, they're going to be resurrected, but their resurrection is not going to be one of life. Their resurrection is going to be placed in a place of damnation. A real place. An eternal place. It's not because God did not want them to. He gave them evidence and reasons why they should. But ultimately, the Bible says, and ye will. Your own free will, your stubborn will, you chose not to. And you will not come to me that you might have life. They could have, because of what God had given to them. Verse 33 to verse 35, they had the witness of John the Baptist, which we have that very same witness. It was prophesied that John would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ in Old Testament. That Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled in the coming of John the Baptist to present baptism, to present that Jesus came and baptism, what it would represent in identifying with him in the future of his death, his burial, and resurrection. John came in identifying with Jesus Christ and presenting this truth. In verse 33, he said, you had this. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness of the truth. You heard about this man preaching, and you sent to hear that, and he came and he told you that Jesus Christ was coming, and he was a forerunner of the Messiah. He was come to prepare them for the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He says, but I received not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. I want you to go back and see and have the evidence of not of me, of John, but of John coming, fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament. He was a burning and a shining light. You were in darkness, and the first light of the New Testament was the light of John the Baptist, fulfilling Old Testament prophecy. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing. You see, because the same ones that had rejected Jesus Christ had received John, thinking that he was coming to present to them the Messiah. And so they accepted John, and they were willing for a season to rejoice in his light or what he brought to them. They heard the truth from John. They were willing to rejoice in what he was saying. But it only lasted for a season. It seemed as if they believed. It seemed as if they said, Jesus, the Messiah, is come. John has presented to us that he has come, and we are ready for him to lead us into world dominance, and we're ready to serve and to follow the Messiah. And they followed John. And John, when he pointed them to Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And they would receive Jesus because of the witness of John for a season. But they never were truly convinced. And I'm afraid that there's so many that are following Christianity without following Jesus Christ. They're following Christianity because they have no doubt that Christianity is coming to the world, and the United States has presented Christianity as truth. It's on our Christian calendar. We go by our Christian calendar as before Christ and then after the death of Christ. And now we looked at our Christian calendar and we see a date on there, December 25th, which is symbolic for a day when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth and he was born a Savior, born of a virgin, fulfilling the prophecies of Scripture. And you see that and you say, "I want to be a part of Christianity. I believe in that." But when all of the Bible is being presented, you don't want that. You don't want true Christianity. Yeah. And for a season, you will follow, but you haven't been totally convinced. And so you'll find religion, but it's not genuine Christianity. They had the witness of John, and it seemed even for a while that they did believe. But now they're saying, "We want Christ dead. We don't want him to mess up our religion, our belief." And they never really were convinced. There have been many come to this church. But why, they're so energetic and so filled with, it looked like genuine Christianity. And then for some reason or not, maybe they got upset with another member, or the preacher didn't shake their hand like they thought that he should have. Or they preached on something that they did not want to give up and did not want to be convicted of that. And they left. And many are not in church at all. And at one point you said, "Boy, it looked like they believed." But evidently they were not convinced. Jesus is saying, "You had John, and even for a season, you looked like you received him for a season until you realized that he was pointing to Jesus who came to die on the cross." And they weren't expecting that. They weren't expecting a Jesus that came to die for the whole world, that even the Gentiles could be saved. They were not expecting that. And once they realized that Jesus wanted to save the world and not just the Jews, then they would reject him as being the Messiah. And they would choose to kill him. Yeah. But they had the witness of John. If they would have listened to the witness of John, they could have and would have genuinely put their faith in Christ. But that's not all they had. They had the witness of not only Jesus Christ himself, but the works of Christ. I want you to see that. Look there with me. The second thing in verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John." Jesus says, "I have revealed to you greater works than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish," how he lived his life and the miracles that he performed, "the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. For he did things that no man could do. Even the winds and the waves obeyed his voice. He healed the sick. He healed the lame. He healed the blind. He brought those who had died back to life." Could any man do this? For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. Even though all these works were done, you don't have his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. They'd rejected Jesus and his works so that they would not. John chapter 14. See, because the same thing's happening today. The works are recorded in history. The life of Christ is recorded in history. Not only in the Bible, but it's recorded in history. He did these things that the Bible said that he did. And he had everyone looking to him as someone that was divine, some doing things that no man could do. And they were writing in history books, not only in the Bible, but the history books of Israel. They're written in the book of Josephus and other historical books that this man Jesus was doing things that no other man could have done. So that if you just look to what he accomplished some 2,000 years ago, the works that he did, you would believe. John chapter 14 and verse 9. Thomas here, and he said, Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and ye hast not known me, Philip, that he that has sent me has seen the Father? And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Philip was confused. And he says, show us the Father. And Jesus said, you've seen him, if you've seen me. Believest not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else. If you won't believe just the verbal truth, believe me for the very works' sake. Because that's evidence. You can't deny that. The evidence of the things that Jesus did on earth ought to be enough for us to choose to believe. John chapter 10 and verse 7 and 8, 37 rather. John chapter 10. He said, Jesus says, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. If you look at my life and you don't see anything divine about the works that I have done, then believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Not only did we have, and today we still have, the witness of John the Baptist, the first light of the New Testament. And then we have the light of Jesus Christ, and not only the light that he came as a virgin-born Son of God, but we find that written down in history the actual works that Jesus did, all the way up to the very last that we look to, the resurrection from the dead. That's historical. That's undeniable. That's even on our Christian calendar. A day when Jesus Christ resurrected from the grave. Listen to me. If you don't believe just the words, just look at what he did while he was here. You cannot deny the fact of the works were that of a divine individual. And we have the witness of that today. We have the same witness of John the Baptist. We have the same witness of the works of Jesus Christ. And yet, so many still will not, even though you could, and even though you should, but for whatever reason, you will not. Didn't stop there. He gave one other evidence that should have caused them to believe. They had the evidence or the witness of the scriptures. Go back with me to our text there in John chapter 5, verse 38. The Bible says, "And ye have not his word abiding in you." You've read it. You might even have memorized it. But it's not abiding. It's not in you. You might have it in your head. You might have some verses memorized. But it's not in you. You haven't accepted it. "For ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent him you believe not." The very words of Jesus Christ, the very scriptures themselves that Jesus brought to us, fulfilling the Old Testament and presenting this New Testament doctrines of Christ. You read it. You might know what it says, but you're not convinced. It's not in you. And he says, "Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life." You think as long as you're a good person. You think as long as you attend church. You think as long as you tithe. You think of all these different things. "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me," or present what I'm telling you to be the truth. Yeah, that's what it's saying. What did he tell them? That he was equal with the Father. That he was the virgin-born Son of God. That's what it says in verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought to more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, because he was the Lord of the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Scripture verifies that he was the virgin-born Son of God. Back in Matthew chapter 1, brings us back to what we're looking to celebrate 2 days from today. The actual date, a day when Jesus Christ, the Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin, never known a man, shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us," equal with God. "Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." God's word has withstood the test of time for 2,000 years. This New Testament, the words of Jesus Christ, have been attacked over and over and over again. There have been world leaders that have proclaimed that they would destroy the Bible. There was a time when if you were caught with a copy of the New Testament, you would be imprisoned and some even burnt on a stake. And yet, 2,000 years later, the very same Bible, the very same written down words of God is flourishing. And we have it today. It has withstood the test of time. and everything that Satan could throw against it, it has withstood. We have evidence. Jesus said, "You're wanting to kill me? You've not believed in me? You can't have life eternal without your belief in me. And you have opportunity to believe in me because look at the evidence. You even accepted John the Baptist for a season. You've seen the works that I've done. And you have the evidence of the scriptures." See, by faith, I choose to believe the Bible even before I read it. Because it abides in me. My faith is that this is the very words of God. Before I read it, I believe it to be what Christ has presented to us. Because I believe that Jesus came as the only begotten Son of God. I believe he's fulfillment of the Old Testament. And then he has preserved as he has said he would preserve. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall never pass away." I believe that God Almighty has preserved his word. And before I even read it, I already believe it because it abides in me. My faith is based upon what this Bible says. And everyone has that opportunity. But you have to choose. You can't choose just to believe partial parts of the Bible. It has to abide in you. By faith, I choose to believe it. They could have truly believed, but they would not. Not only was it sad at that time, but 2,000 years later, it's still very sad today. When people refuse to believe the Bible. Let me just read to you, and we're closing here in Psalms chapter 73, something that the psalmist wrote, I think goes right hand in hand with this. The psalmist in Psalm 73, verse 24 says this, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast beholden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. And afterward receive me to glory." His counsel is his word. "Whom I have in heaven but thee. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." There's nothing I desire more than a relationship with my Savior, my God. "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish." They're going to be resurrected one day to that of a damnation. "For lo, they that are far from me shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." You see, the same in the Old Testament. The psalmist says, "I chose to believe. And I choose to put my trust in God's word." This morning, the warning is still for us today. We have evidence and we have all that we should need if we would look to it to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you choose to believe, can I tell you, you can have everlasting life. And after this life is over, you will hear the voice of God and you will be escorted into the very presence of God in heaven. I'm looking forward. I'm not looking forward to the process of dying, but I'm surely looking forward to the blessings that will follow my faith that I have placed in Jesus Christ. And I trust that you will too. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. They could have, but they would not. It's all about a choice. It's all about our free will. You can today, but we know not what a day may bring. This might be the very last opportunity. If you have not put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, do not let this opportunity pass you by. Do it while you still can. They could have, they should have, but they would not. Don't let that be said of you. Take advantage of the opportunities we have today. Put your faith in Him. Father, we bow before You. We love You, Lord God, and thank You for this truth that You've given to us. And the warnings, God, that You have made clear. I pray this morning, God, that each and every one of us here would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are convinced that we have put our faith and our trust in Christ. Therefore, we have knowledge and confidence and hope of everlasting life. Bless now as we go into this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray.